Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And of course, in past lessons, we shared that you can see here that fighting the good fight of faith is tied to what else? Profession of a good profession. It says a profession of a good, or you could say confession. So our faith is, or this fight of faith is tied to a good confession. And that's what the devil tries to do, is to get us to loosen our grip on the promises of God and to slack off on our speaking to things. Hallelujah. And the New Living, it says that we're to hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. So you can see here, there is a fight. We're in a fight with, I guess you could say, who's your adversary? Who is your adversary? The devil is. And but the we have some armor that we've been given to protect us. Armor's there to protect us. And you know, one thing I'm thinking about is that when there's a fight, what's the objective of a fight? To win, right? So if you're in a fight with somebody, not encouraging you to fight somebody, but if you were in a fight with someone, your objective would be to win. And so in this fight, the devil's objective is, number one, his tools, he's already defeated. Jesus said he spoiled, or Paul wrote in Colossians, he spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show of them in it, the cross. So he's been spoiled. He's got no power in the sense that we're not in his kingdom. He has no power or right to you. He has no authority over you. You have a new Lord. You have a new kingdom and kingdom principles and rules that we apply by. And Jesus is our Lord. Amen. But the devil has some tactics, and as it says, wiles or trickery or deceits, that his objective is, in any fight, is to take control. When you win, you're in control, aren't you? Yes. Which is what happened. Jesus took what? Says Revelations. He took the keys of hell and death. He's got control. Yes. He's got the what? The keys. Yes. He got the keys. Yes. And so the devil doesn't have the control anymore. Jesus does. And he's given us authority in what? His name. I'm telling you, when the name of Jesus, they remember the spoiling and being made an open show and a disgrace. So when that name of Jesus goes forth, they shudder. They know what it means. He has control. And so we need to be aware that there's some armor that's been given to us, and it's designed to protect us, to help us. And so today, I wanted to just look at the shield of faith. Is that all right? And We know that, and I'm going to get there in a minute, but one thing the devil fights hard with is to deceive you. But if you are, you know, we were talking about certain portions of the armor, and the belt, the loin belt, is referred to as the belt of truth. And also the breastplate of righteousness. So the most important thing is what? The Word of God. That is the most important thing, is the Word of God. So when you look at this, I was thinking of a scripture here. It says that when the sower soweth the word, verse 15, this is Mark 4, 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So his objective is to steal that away so that you don't have understanding that will set you free. So his objective is to steal something that's been put in your heart to help you, give you direction. So again, we have an enemy, and again he is the God of this world, and he's the God of this world, and it says over those whose minds have been blinded and believe not. But let's turn over to Ephesians. I want us to go here and look at, or pick up where we've been. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at starting in verse 10 again. I'm going to read from the King James. You can read along in whatever translation you have. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in who? In the Lord. And in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God. So we're to put on something. Otherwise, we're not protected. So we're to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is the trickery and the schemes. And so this armor is important. Yes. It's key. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand, or resist, you could say, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, or you could say resist, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And we talked about this belt. Some of the translations call it a utility belt. So it had some function. It was key. It supported, you know, when I worked construction, I had a little pouch I wore on the side, and it was carried all my stuff. You know, if you get up on a ladder, you don't want to keep going up and down. You got to carry your tools with you. So I carried my screwdriver and side cutters, channel locks, knives, whatever, you know, testers and different things, because I didn't want to get up and down 18, 20-foot ladder. So you're up there to work. And the same thing, it had some function. And so this belt had function. It carried the sword, the sheath and the sword. It clipped in the breastplate. So it was central, which is what? The Word of God. It's key. It's central to all that we do, is the Word of God. And it said, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Still talking about the Word of God. It's key. Now, let's look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I want to read it again. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. One thing you'll notice when you read verse 16, and it talks about the shield of faith and you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It says, no matter how long your enemy beats against that shield of faith, your faith can outlast his attack. It doesn't say anything about, you know, you gotta put that shield of faith up for a certain amount of time. It doesn't matter how long his attacks persist, you can outlast them.
Amen.
The shield of faith can outlast them. Now, I'm going to use some material from Rick Renner's book on the shield, the dress to kill, because it talks about this, and he is, I consider, a Bible scholar, and also he shared at the beginning of his book that in 1991 at Winter Bible Seminar, Brother Hagin used that book to teach from. And he, you know, thanks him for that and so forth. And I said, well, if it's good enough for Brother Hagin to teach from, I think we need to listen to it. So in here, he talks about the shield. And he refers, and again, he did a lot of study on this, the soldier. And he said the soldier actually had two different types of shields. He had a little round one that was used for more parades and different things like that. So it was more decorative. It's not really going to protect you. It's just a little round doodad like a pizza pan. That's not going to protect you. And he gave a certain Greek word, but he said the word that's used, the Greek word that's used in this passage is not talking about that little pizza pan shield, this little commemorative decorative shield. He said this particular shield was, he said it's called Theros. He said it's a large oblong he said, four-cornered shield. He said they referred to it as a door. And he said it was a large shield that covered the soldier. It wasn't just something he put out in front. They dropped that shield and it covered him. He was covered. And of course, you know, I'm not going to get into it here, but they said it was made out of leather, layers of leather. It was treated. So he said it actually, he said it had up to six layers of leather that was tanned and wet and treated, and he said it was almost like steel. And he said when they'd go out into battle, they oiled it, they watered it, because again, he said they soaked it in water, because he said when they fired fiery darts or arrows, he said when they hit, it would quench it. So there's some things, and we're not going to get stuck on that, but this is the shield of faith. That faith shield can quench every fiery dart from the enemy. Hallelujah. What does? Faith. Faith does. And what he said was that when you read this, when it says above all, he said, and he goes into this discussion in the book saying above all doesn't mean that the shield of faith is more important than the Word of God. Because you can read that and say above all it's more important than the Word of God, because we're talking about descriptions of parts of the armor. So we can't say that faith is more important than the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word of God. So he said here that this particular word, and he said there's two words, he said above has a certain Greek word. It means it's EPI. He said that all is another Greek word. When you put them together, it means, he said the phrase typically would mean above all describes position over piece, over other pieces of armor. So he said it's better translated to say out in front of all or covering all, meaning above all. It's out in front protecting all the other pieces. So that's what he was referring to here. That it doesn't mean it's more important. He said it describes position, not importance. So the shield of faith, it's more important where the position is. So what is he saying? Where we're concerned, your faith needs to be out front. Your faith needs to be out front protecting what? Every other armor, every other piece of the armor. So that means when you're confronted with something, your faith ought to be out there like a shield protecting you. That's the first thing it hits is what? Faith-filled words. Faith-filled words. When an attack comes, faith-filled words, it hits faith-filled words. That's the armor. Right? Amen. And so anyways, what he's saying, this is telling us that your faith is supposed to be out front where it can cover all. Faith is designed to be out front where it can completely cover you in every situation of life. That's what it's meant to do. Hallelujah. So it's a defensive weapon that is out front of all the other pieces of armor. Now, the next word in this, taking. So we have above all, taking. Each one of these words, the Holy Ghost inspired Paul to write this. It means something. And so when you look at this, the word taking, it means to, it's actually two words. It's the compound of two words together. And he said it actually means to take up something in your hand or pick up something back up again. So this means that the shield of faith can be picked up or it can be laid down. It means taking. You can pick it up or you can put it down. The choice is yours to make. Hallelujah. Now the next word in here, wherewith. He said the word wherewith would be better translated by which. So you can see here the Greek words when this is dissected. So we have picking up the shield of faith by which. By which what? You shall be able to do something. So he says here, this is interesting here, the phrase shall be able, and you can look this up because I did. I didn't just read this. I looked up the Greek words online. The Greek words for shall be able is taken from the word dunamis. Oh yeah. It's real interesting because we read right over these scripture verses. And it comes from the root word dunamis, which means explosive power or dynamic power. It's where we get the word dynamite. So shall be able is translated dunamai, which is from the word dunamis. So he said here, if you looked at this, the phrase would be better translated, by use of this shield, you will have explosive and dynamic power. Ooh, boy, this is not just a shield here.
All right.
Isn't that good? Yes. That's good. I mean, that's good stuff. This is now you start looking at why the shield of faith is so important. I'm going to read that again. Shall be able is translated dunamai. So it's taken from the word dunamis, which denotes explosive power or dynamic power. So the phrase would thus be better translated, by the use of this shield, you will have explosive and dynamic power. So when that shield comes up, shields up, there's dynamic power that fiery dart hits. And is what? Quenched. Quenched. How, with what? The power of God. No match. There's no match to it. Now, this is the thing. And once you see that, you'll begin to see something else. In other words, when your strong faith activates the power of God, so this is what we're talking about. When faith activates the power of God in your life, those two forces combine to make a mighty protective shield between you and every demonic onslaught that might come against you. So when your faith shield goes up and it activates the power of God, those two together create this shield that the devil is no match for. No match. Hallelujah. Think about this. There's another scripture verse to think about. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. So we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me read some other translations of Ephesians 6:16. This is the basic translation. And most of all, using faith as a cover to keep off all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The New Life, it says, most important of all, you need a covering of faith in front of you. The Barclay translation, through thick and thin, take faith as your shield. The Jordan translation, above all, take the bulletproof vest of faith with which you'll be able to stop the tracer bullets of the evil one. And there's some other translations, so we won't go to those. But the key here is that this shield, and here's the other thing he talked about in here. I'm not going to really spend time in this today, but he said the Roman soldier had three different types of arrows. He had a regular arrow, he had another arrow that was dipped in tar, and they shot it, and it was a flaming arrow. And then he said there was another arrow that they used that was hollow, that they filled with a combustible material, that when it hit, it exploded. So he said, this word that's used, flaming, what was the word? Flaming, fiery darts. He said that word, fiery darts, is really used, he said, when he goes back and looks at all the historical writings and the Greek word, he said that word, fiery darts, is really used for the arrow that was combustible. That's how he used that. And he said, so that meant that was really an arrow you wouldn't know was coming. You didn't see it lit. You didn't know it was combustible until it hit. So here's the thing. If your shield of faith is not up, What do we mean? What could possibly happen? Well, thoughts come. We're to do what? Cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So he has trickery and vain deceits. And so he'll tell you, you'll never be healed. And so if you take that and you begin to meditate upon it, then what happens? You give him some power in your life or some control wherewith instead, if your shield of faith was up, it would hit that and do what? Hit the ground. But when we begin to meditate upon something, this is what happened to Eve. She began to ponder, and he said, did God really say that? And so it's the same thing for us. He has no power, and if we are continually being watered by the Word of God and meditating in the Word of God and stirred by the presence of God, that when the thoughts come, it hits what? Your profession of faith, the shield of faith. And it stops right there. It stops right there. It's quenched. It's extinguished. And I think this is something where we have to learn, and again, we've all gone through some things where we've maybe entertained some thoughts. He may tell you a number. For every one of us, it's something different. The devil is going to try to find some weakness in your life, whatever that weakness is, and try to take advantage of it. When there's a fight and they're trying to take control, what do they try to do? They try to find, you read about this in all kinds of conquests and things that are going on, fights, even where our country was concerned, what did they do? They'd say, okay, we need to build up this side with more troops and this side we're going to surround. So they try to find a weakness so that they can take advantage of that weakness, right? So it's no different. The devil does the same thing. He's going to try to find a weakness where you're concerned, and you may think, well, I got this covered, until that arrow explodes, right? And it's more than you can handle emotionally. There may be an emotional outburst on your part. You may get angry or worried or whatever that is, and you weren't expecting it. It caught you by surprise. Just happened. Something happened in your life that just came out, as you say, out of left field, and you weren't prepared to handle that. And we're all going to be faced with those kind of things. Something happens and there's an attack in your life. And what does it say? I believe that, just thinking of this particular scripture here over in 2 Peter, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And if you read down all of these, he said, but verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So we won't fail if we keep adding to our faith certain things, so that when things come into our life, it may surprise you, but you're not overcome. You're not overcome by it because the shield of faith is there to protect you. It'll quench it. The first thing that ought to come out of your mouth, I don't care what kind of attack it is, ought to be something from the Word of God. And always remember this, faith is not a feeling. You could feel worry. You could feel, as they say, scared. Faith is not a feeling. Faith-filled words coming out of here doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. What comes out of this heart is a sword that will change something and extinguish something. So we need to not be moved by what we feel, be moved by the Word of God. When something happens, when something that you didn't expect hits your door, as we always used to say, when the delivery man comes, don't accept it, whatever it is. You may have to walk through some things, but as you're walking through it, yea, what does it say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So you may walk through it. Don't fear. Don't take worry. Release faith-filled words. As they say, put the shield up. Protect yourself. Put it up. You know, when you read a little more about this, if I had time, I would have put up some some pictures. But when you show, when they talk about the Roman soldiers, they would march, they said, two by two, and they would put these shields up that would cover them from head to foot. Nothing was exposed. Nothing. And they would stand side by side, shield, 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 shield. And then they put shields over the top. So any arrows coming would not hit them. And they said it looked like a wall of shields coming where none of them were exposed. So this has application when you think about it. This has application individually and corporately. And this is why the devil tries to fight so hard to cause strife in a church, because the shield, the faith shields, get disconnected. So there's openings. But when everybody's saying the same thing and thinking the same thing and talking the same thing, there's no openings. He's defeated. And he stays defeated. That's why when stuff comes up, everybody ought to be saying the same thing. Everybody ought to be thinking the same thing and talking the same thing. That's why when a church, or it could be in your home, because your home is like a little mini corporate center, isn't it? If everybody's talking the same thing at home, there's no strife in that house. You could say it's like heaven on earth. His presence resides there. Doesn't mean that he's not going to try, but you shields up. Everybody's saying the same thing. And he has no place in that house or ministry or home. No place. Say, shields up. Shields up. So you're protected. Amen. So these fiery darts come, and they're meant to harm, and it says here when it uses that term, the fiery darts, they're able to be quenched. It means to extinguish. That's what it means. And it says all, and that word all, it means individually, every, all things, But it said, and also in the Greek, when you look it up, it says corporately, or not corporately, collectively, it means some of all types. Hallelujah. So that means every, what does it say? He's healed every disease, every sickness. Hallelujah. And when you look it up, some of all types. Let me say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Some of all types. Some of all types of fiery darts get extinguished. With what? Faith. Hallelujah. And the power of God. Faith activates the power of God. Hallelujah. Remember what we said. I tell you, it's exciting because when it says, shall be able, see, we're not doing this in our own strength. Shall be able comes from the word dunamis, dynamite. I'm okay, funny. Who did that? Dynamite. Who? Yeah. Dynamite is correct. But these fiery darts, if you meditate and think about them, then you create an opening. But here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but as such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above you are able, but will with the temptation, I underline this, make a way of escape. What's the way of escape? Shields up. Your way of escape is faith. When your shield of faith is out front and covering, it quenches every temptation and every arrow that the enemy tries to send your way. This word wicked means sorrow and pain. Every arrow of the wicked one says this is ill or vicious. So these things are meant to hurt and to harm. But the shield of faith quenches everything that's meant to hurt you and to destroy you and harm you. So if he gets an arrow or a thought lodged in your mind and you begin to believe it, you give him power, or you give it power in your life. So when the thought comes, what does the word of God say concerning that? That ought to be, because I can tell you, we live in this flesh, and this flesh is susceptible to, it is not redeemed. It ain't redeemed. Anybody know your flesh isn't redeemed? As they say, this flesh has appetites. And so this flesh can act up if the right buttons are pushed. Amen. And so what happens is we need to control this flesh. And here's the thing. If you're continuing to be habitually controlled, or you've got struggles and they're continuing to have struggles, then you've not brought into subjection your own flesh and your habits and attitudes. Because with the shield of faith, we can quench those things. It doesn't mean that you may not want to act that out, but you've brought your flesh under subjection. You said, I'm not doing that. I want to do it, but I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to act on this. I'm not going to do it. So you've brought your flesh into subjection. You know, under the control of the Word of God and the power of God. Shield of faith. So the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one if you yield to the Word of God and you bring your flesh and your mind into the subjection of the Word of God. So when folks say, well, this, you know, I got all these problems and this is up, 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 what you're saying is the armor of God doesn't work. That's not true. Somewhere along the line, we've left the door open somewhere. We've left a crack open. And if it's habitual, then we've got to do something. Or we're not doing something. Is that not true?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we're to do what? Cast down every vain imagination. These are his tricks. But the shield of faith will quench them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Extinguish them. What extinguishes them? The Word of God. The Word of God. Faith filled words. Release, activate the power of God. He no match for that. He no match for that. So this is something that, you know, again, just even thinking about what Dr. Larry was talking about last week, some going through certain things, he said, how do you get the word of, how is your money going to multiply? Releasing seeds, faith-filled words out of your mouth. Activating the power of God to cause it to work. When he says to you, you're not going to make it. You will never have this, or you will never be prosperous. What's your response? That's key. If you believe it and meditate on it, you're giving it place or power in your life. And most likely will come to pass. Because if you believe it, then you start talking about it and you give it place. You give it power to come to pass in your life. That you will not have anything. And that goes for anything. Whether it's money or health or, you know, your home life. We have to release faith-filled words. Put the shield up. Shield of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we're putting on this armor and we're not putting it down or taking it off. Father, even if we miss it, we're going to pick back up that armor and we're going to continue moving forward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. The devil is defeated in our lives. He's defeated in our families. He's defeated in our health and in our bodies. He's defeated in our finances and money. He's defeated in every area of our life. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And we put the devil on notice that he has no place in our lives. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.